Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today a little bit late because I lost track of the time. From Atlanta, Georgia, the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, where the skies are dark, gray, ominous, but it is very warm. My brother Richard's already on the line, so let me bring him on. Dick, how are you today?
I'm fine, Jack. Maybe we should give the phone number now, too, so that maybe somebody'd like to call in and comment on our weekly advice to the world.
347-326-9949 is the guest call-in number, and we will take calls. We've had so much to talk about that we really haven't taken calls for a while. And there are people that call in, and I don't even switch them on because we just have had so much to do. But, you know, I'm actually, you know, I had to go to the doctor and get an antibiotic and all kinds of stuff for an acute respiratory infection. So my voice is a little lower than usual, which, you know, on the radio is kind of sexy, I suppose, but I promise you it is not fun, and nor is the coughing that goes along with that. Of that, I promise you. All right. There's one item that I want to bring up right to begin with, and it won't take us a minute, but it is something that, just to follow through with what we have discussed for months and months and months, and that's the runoff election in Louisiana between Mary Landrieu and Cassidy. And the Landrieu has been a senator for three terms, and she wants a fourth. So that's 18 years, and her whole thing is, you know, I'm head of the energy, and that's good for Louisiana. You know, vote for me, and because I still have, because I've got power and clout. But since the Senate is changing hands, she has nothing. And in an effort to try and make her relevant, Harry Reid brought up the vote for the Keystone Pipeline, and it failed. People in her own party don't even care enough about her. They're just way more interested in their ideological convictions. But Saturday is the final election, and my prediction to begin with was that the Senate would flip. A lot of people said 51-49. I said either 53-47, or if we really get lucky, 54-46, and it's going to be 54-46. If another couple of days, and I think that Warner would have lost in Virginia, and Scott Brown might have prevailed in New Hampshire, but that wasn't to be. So that's just something I wanted to bring up. You want to add anything to that, Dick?
No, I you know, I hear that one of her supporters or staff members has, she's been trying to get away from Obama, I guess online or YouTube, I'm not sure how, but pretty much said that she's still very much in Obama's pocket. So that right before the election was kind of the coup de grace of jamming it down her throat.
Well, this is an important election for a number of reasons. One, in 2016, they're going to be a boatload of Republicans that are vulnerable, and having that extra seat will be important. You know, Landrieu, like all the rest of them, has tried to distance herself from Obama, but she has voted for the measures that he wants over 95% of the time. Now, I'd say that is, you know, being in his back pocket. She, you know, I'm sure that this is a little unkind. When she first ran for the Senate, she was an attractive lady. Now she looks like Miss Piggy. And, you know, with Kermit being in the White House, you know, this is just something that, well, you know, I probably shouldn't say that. That's just a little too not nice. At any rate.
You did say it. It was probably well taken by a lot of people. But I think Miss Piggy has a little more class.
Boy, that is funny. That really is funny. Now, you know, this the subject I want to talk about next is one that I'm going to keep on repeatedly because I think it's so important, and it's also one that people might find a little boring, but if I stay at it, I think that there will be people eventually who will hear and respond in a way that can help save our republic. And that is this. President Obama at different times has really told us who he is and what his agenda is. Now, you know, he started out saying that he was going to have the most transparent administration in history. And there's still people that believe that because he said it. It's nonsense, of course, and it's the antithesis of that. But what is the one thing that he is most fearful of? What do you think?
That his background will come to pass.
That's it. That's exactly right. That is his most vulnerable spot. So the day after he was sworn into office, he signed his first executive order, which sealed everything about his past. Who he was, where he'd been, everything. Including that he really wasn't born in the United States of America, making him constitutionally incapable of being the president of the United States. I mean, it flat says that in the Constitution. All right, now, because he's done that, and you remember the birthers right at the beginning were just up in arms, and finally Donald Trump made a big issue out of it, and since Donald Trump made a big issue out of it, I mean, he's an important person in America, whether you like him or not, or his hair or not, he's important. So, you know, Obama produced this birth certificate. Put it up on whitehouse.gov website. Still there. Still on the front page. But it's a PDF document. And if you open it up in Photoshop, you can take the layers off of it and see that it is a manufactured document and not a real one. Now, there was a lot of play on that right to begin with. And the reason was is people thought, well, he's not so stupid that he would do something that sophomoric, that, you know, that he didn't know what he was talking about. I mean, you know, he ran a sophisticated campaign. I mean, they really had their act together about getting him elected. I mean, he wouldn't be that much of a buffoon. I believe that. Then, when they put up, you know, the Affordable Care Act website, and it was a disaster, and they had spent hundreds of millions of dollars on it, you know, and it's not secure. I mean, I've got a website, you know, McGeeandMe.net that does, I mean, we do business, and it is secure. And it cost me $15,000. Spend hundreds of millions of dollars, and people's information isn't secure. That's crazy. Now, if that had preceded the birth certificate, I think that way more people would pay attention to it. But here's the thing. His executive order goes against the Freedom of Information Act. That means that his executive order violates the law. You don't get to have orders that violate the law. Now, there are two ways to come after that. One of them would be for Congress, since the opposition holds both houses now, would specifically make a law counteracting his executive order, which they should do, but I suspect that they won't. The other is for people to bring about specific lawsuits against him where the policies of the Obama administration have adversely affected them financially, to file suit and say that this is unlawful because President Obama's presidency is unlawful, and go right after his first executive order. If even one lawsuit gets to where there's a judge that would say, yes, you're right, I'm ordering those things revealed. And this doesn't have to go to the Supreme Court. This can be just a regular court. This should bring this whole subject right up. And he would have to defend his secrecy at a time when he is no longer, when he did it, there were 65% of the people approved of him. The day that he signed that fully in the poll, 65% approved of his presidency. Now, I saw two polls today where his disapprovals, one of them was at 39%, only 39% approve of him. Another was 37. That's the lowest there's been. There's still a couple in the mid-40s, but there are none where they're 50%. All of the disapprovals are above 50% in all of them on Real Clear Politics. So he'd be trying to get support for his secrecy at a time when people don't believe him. Now, I'm thinking that this is, and why, just little old Jack and Nick on Jack Watts Live blog radio are the only people that are talking about this, to my knowledge, in America. Now, it's possible that there's something I don't know and that none of this is possible, but I don't think so. I think that I'm spot on about this. This is where he is most vulnerable. And it's why he knew he was vulnerable about this. That's why his first act as president was to cover his ass. What do you say about that, Richard?
It seems to bode to be you know, this is exactly what he's done. Like you say, he's definitely trying to cover his derriere. And the transparency from the very first day in office fell by the wayside. He wasn't going to be transparent about who he is or where he came from. Do you also notice, too, that nobody has ever interviewed anybody that knew him in college or in law school? None of his past has ever been brought forward. I mean, doesn't that seem a little strange? Do you think he never had a girlfriend before he met Michelle?
Well, we
a boyfriend?
Girlfriend. I mean, you know.
He just, there's just been so many lies. It's just hard to believe that his life isn't a lie.
I'll tell you another way to get at some of the truth. Although he's been paid off, the Reverend Jeremiah Wright is extremely arrogant. He's a smart man. He is kind of the mastermind behind the creation of Barack Obama and mentored him for 20 years. You know, then they get in the campaign and it's like, well, I never heard him say, goddamn America, but he did, Jeremiah Wright, you know, because those are the kinds of things that, you know, that people just can't tolerate. I mean, here it is 6 years later. I suspect most people don't even remember that. But Wright has been a little forthcoming in the sense of saying that, you know, that he presented Christianity to Obama in such a way that he was able to accept parts of it and say that he was, despite his Muslim background. I mean, now we all know, you know, that he favors Islam. I mean, this was, you know, 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, we didn't know anything about it hardly. Now, jihad, and words like that, everybody knows. You don't have to explain what jihad means. You can, you know, people know the difference between, you know, Sunnis and Shiites. 20 years ago, nobody knew that. 20 years ago, I mean, half the people would say they were Mohammedans instead of Muslims. Things have changed, obviously, from 9/11. But more than that, you know, our nation is being systematically changed. In the last Senate, there were less than 100 laws passed. Now, there were about 300 that were passed in the House and brought Terry Reid, but very few of them did anything. The Senate did nothing the last 2 years except provide cover for Obama. At the same time, on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, less than a week ago, they dumped the Obama administration 3,500 new regulations on Americans. Now, these regulations are laws without going through Congress. It's unconstitutional. Some of them affect financial things. It gets right back to no taxation without representation. Now we got 2 more years of this guy, and no telling how much he's going to be able to inflict upon us. but including the fantasy stuff. But if pressure can be brought to bear upon who he really is, all he's going to have time to do is cover his rear and try. I mean, I think that this fraud upon the American people is so deep that people need to go to prison for it. And frankly, even worse, I saw something today. I don't know if this is true. Let me just say that, you know, that Obama's almost reclusive in the White House. He isn't even playing golf. Of course, it's cold. But, you know, drinking a lot, that's not good. I think that's not good. Ulysses S. Grant sat in the White House, got drunk every day. That's the last president, I think, that was just an overt alcoholic while leading us. So I don't know about that, but I do know that Valerie Jarrett is running this country more and more as Obama withdraws. She's not even an elected official. She's got Secret Service protection, which the law doesn't call for protecting her, period. They stop traffic so she can go through. Senators don't get that. Speaker of the House doesn't get that. He's third in line for the presidency. Stuff's different. It's a big deal. And we're going to go after it. And we're going to keep going after this thing. We're going to mention it every week, maybe not as extensively as we have tonight. We're going to keep bringing it up. Someplace, sometime, it's going to resonate. Someone's going to file a lawsuit. We don't have grounds to follow, and I don't have anything where, you know, where he's adversely affected me personally. I think some of these Tea Party people do, you know, with the IRS and scrutiny like that, and, you know, to just not go after the IRS, but say that that there was a conspiracy, and all of it has to do with protecting him, and we don't have access to know who he really is. I think it's an argument that resonates. What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you, this whole thing has gone through 6 years. And you're right, Jack, when you say, you know, he's more for Islam than he is for Christianity. I mean, do you ever have a dinner where you brought in all of the Christian leaders? But they do that for Islam. So
Every year. There's a word for it. It's at the end of Ramadan. And
exactly.
Every year. And, you know, this is some bad stuff. At any rate, this is what's happening. We're in very deep trouble in America. And now, were there any, you know, I talked about this nearly the whole time. Now, we won't do that every time, but we're just going to bring it up. Are there any other things that you had that you were interested in discussing with the final minute and a half that we have?
Well, I did see something that there's maybe a little bit of groundswell to see if they could get Mitt Romney to run again, because they did a poll that said, as of right now, that would beat...
That what?
That Mitt Romney would beat Hillary Clinton if he ran for president. So, you know, when they say all of the things that he said that the Democrats laughed at came to pass, you know, the Russians... pulling out of Iraq, all of these different things that Obama has kind of quietly disregarded have come to pass, and Romney was right about all of them. So, and I'll tell you the truth. If he was running tomorrow, I'd be like a lot of the people that voted for Obama. I'd vote for him two or three times.
Yeah. Well, I would vote for him over Hillary Clinton, absolutely. I think that we can have a better choice than that. This time in 2007, people were sure that Hillary Clinton would be the nominee and that Rudy Giuliani would be the Republican. So things are going to change in the political landscape in the next year or year and a half, and we'll see what we've got. I know this. It is, I'm not a Republican. I'm a patriot, just like you. We want somebody who loves our nation, is committed to us, and not a citizen of the world. Let the citizens of the world be citizens of the world, but not presidents of the United States. We want somebody that's in the White House who's going to double down on taking care of our needs and making the United States of America the great nation that we have always been. I'm tired of these wussies who say, whine and say, oh, America's greatest days are over. They are not. That was the same message that Jimmy Carter put forth in 1978, and Reagan came flying out of the West like a cowboy. True, America's best days are ahead, and doggone if he wasn't right. It's still true, and that is what we're going to continue to preach and to say every single show. So anyway, we're done. So let me just say thank you, Dick. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night.